Welcome to Straight Talk with Kathy, your go-to source for health and wellness discussions from one of our country's leading motivational speakers, Kathy Robinson Pickett. And now, without further delay, here's Straight Talk with Kathy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's podcast. I'm Kathy Robinson Pickett, your host, and I'm a woman with something to say. Today, I have a guest on the show. She's my daughter, Lindsay Robinson.
Hi.
And we are going to be talking about feelings, discriminations, how things can feel to one person when someone else may not know they're causing those feelings. Lindsay is a senior at Florida Gulf Coast University in Fort Myers, Florida, and last semester she had me come visit her class. She was taking a class on literature of the plague periods, and I went in and we talked about literature around the HIV/AIDS scene, really, pretty much, and what it says and how it can make people feel. But Lindsay read a poem that she had written when she was young in that class, and it sparked some real discussion. So we're going to kind of share that with you today. So Lindsay, take it away.
It's called The Tree and the Logger. I wrote it in October 1st, 2003 at 10:32 p.m. Don't ask me why I put that in there. I am the tree, tall and green and strong. You are the logger with your axe of words so sharp. You cut and chop. Little by little I wear away till finally you call. Timber, I fall in a heap of broken limbs and pain. With a loud crash, still you cut me into little bits and pieces. Then you leave me and find another to harm. You leave me bare and naked when once I stood tall and green and strong. Nothing left except broken wisps of what I was. 'Tis a pity and undeserving fate which you befell upon me.
So Lindsay wrote that poem, and we've used it for several World AIDS Day presentations and different things. And really, it's a poem about bullying. And the last couple of months, we've had a lot of horrific stories in the news about kids being bullied and being taunted. And just a few days ago in Florida, we had a young woman. She was a middle school age young woman who hung herself, and she left her journal out. And her journal had several writings and poems, much like that, where her and her family had been being picked on. And at 12 or 13, she just couldn't face going to school another day. And I think we see a lot of kids in that position. And so I kind of just want to talk about that. And Lindsay certainly had feelings of that when she was younger. And maybe she can share some of those thoughts of what it is to face those things in school.
It sucks. I mean, what else really can you say? It does, and you can't really know how much it hurts unless you've been there.
So I guess what I'm hoping that as parents and young people listen to this, that you think about the things you say in classrooms and in playgrounds and in your churches that people around you could be sitting and hear and get hurt by. And Lindsay kind of thought she was all over that, and she's gone away to college, and earlier this year she was, it actually happened the week of World AIDS Week, she was in a college class, and maybe she can share what happened in that classroom, keeping in mind that she's in a new place where no one knows she's Kathy Robinson Pickett's daughter. She's just in a regular class, and this transpired.
Well, it was actually on World AIDS Day. I was in my history of anthropological theory class. Really, when you think about anthropologists, you think of people who are tolerant, who are open-minded, who just really are there to learn about different people. Well, I'm not entirely sure how it happened, but we got onto this discussion about HIV and AIDS, and this older woman, she was in her 40s, 50s, she said something about all people with AIDS needing to die and how they were prostitutes and IV drug users, with the exception of the couple who were just unlucky enough to get bad transfusions. And no one knew who I was or what my background was, and so I corrected her. And she didn't particularly like that very much, but that's kind of how it goes sometimes.
And the thing for us has been, over the years, a number of our Friends Together kids who are positive or who have lost their family members are sitting in public school classrooms where people make incredibly horrific jokes around the subject of HIV and AIDS. But I think this applies across the board. Lindsay is a very motivated, self-assured person who was able to kind of take charge in that situation and maybe do a little bit of education. And it actually evolved to me coming to do a presentation at the school and all kinds of stuff. So it turned out okay in that situation. But most kids sitting in a classroom where kids make a bad joke about autism, or they make a bad joke about race, or they make a bad joke about HIV or other diseases or poor people or whatever that joke may be, aren't conscious of who's sitting around them and how it can make them feel. And it particularly for kids who are having to kind of hide secrets of their families, it can be an extremely volatile situation. And eventually these children either implode or they explode. In the case of this young woman who hung herself, she imploded, right? I'm sure no matter where you're listening to this podcast that you've heard another story that happened in South Florida not terribly long ago. We had a young woman and a man texting back and forth to each other. They hadn't even actually ever met each other, but they knew who each other was, and the young man was wanting to talk to the young woman's friend, and she made a derogatory comment in the text, and he came to her school and beat her almost to death. Now, this young man had a brother who had committed suicide and obviously had some emotional problems going on and was upset. He didn't implode, right? He exploded. And kids that are bullied, they're going to go one way or the other. That's just kind of the bottom line with that. And so what I really want to talk about with you is how can you have those conversations with your kids, especially if you're a family who maybe is a little different than some families are. So if your kids are going to hear derogatory things that apply to them, how can you give them some skills to deal with that? And how can you deal with it yourself, the hurt that you may feel for your kids? And so that's really what I want to hear back from you from this podcast is, what are your ideas? How can we get our kids in a safer place? How can we get a handle on the bullying that's going on, not only in our schools, but I hear stories of things in churches. I hear stories of things in public places all the time. I'm hearing from parents and from teenagers about bad situations they're in. And so we need your help to make this stop. And so what I'm really looking for is, what are your ideas? How have you handled these situations? Is there some clues that you can give out for other people to be able to look in a different direction, maybe, so that we don't have this implosion or explosion going on with our youth today? I think it's been really important. Lindsay is 19, almost 20 years old. She's grown up in a world that she's faced a lot of discriminations because her mother's been a very public figure. And that publicness has caused people to definitely know who she is. So Lindsay, what is one thing that you've been able to use inside of yourself to kind of diffuse things when things have happened or people have said some stuff, or that you've been able to share with other Friends Together kids that are younger than you about how they can handle situations?
I write.
That's the answer I knew she was going to say. She writes. Lindsay is a journalist. She absolutely, that's not her major, but she journals constantly. And that's one of the big skills we've taught our young folks, is to write, is to journal, is to talk about their feelings, to share those with each other. We have a Yahoo group. We have a MySpace, a whole group on MySpace, a whole bunch of them on Facebook. So a lot of our kids share their stuff. One of our young men, Travis Casey, has had actually his poems published in a book. If you're looking for a great gift for somebody, you can go to my Facebook and find Travis and look at his poetry, because it's astounding that this young man has been able to kind of direct people in a world of chaos to a world of forgiveness. So he's done a really, really good job with that. Journaling has been important to Lindsay since probably, how old do you think you were when you started writing?
I don't know, but I could probably check if you wanted me to go get one of the books.
I think you were probably about 7 or 8 that you started writing poems. I definitely know that in 2nd and 3rd grade you were already writing poems. You may not have been journaling exactly the way you journal now, but you were definitely writing poems. So that was an important kind of thing for you all the way around. Has it been important for your life to have the other friends together, family around you, the other kids, even though you guys are spread all over the state, to know that you're not the only person in that situation?
Yes, it's a big thing to have people around you that are similar in some way.
You guys don't feel like you have to keep the same secrets, right?
No.
So that's been a big part, I think, for you guys, is that a lot of the Friends Together kids keep big secrets. And at least with the Friends Together family, you guys are like brothers and sisters. So some of you get along real well. Some of you kind of don't get along always. It's 400 kids. So when you're talking 400 teenagers, you always got stuff. But the one thing that you know is each one of you always have each other's back, right? And we've seen that play out time and time again when somebody's in crisis or when somebody's in trouble. And we see that play out when the good things are happening too, as we've got a whole bunch of them graduating from high school in the next few weeks. They all are totally supportive of each other and have their backs. So I think that's been a major key. Is there anything else that you would think would be suggestions for maybe some of the younger kids that, like, are there other activities that we've used that you think are good for them?
Personally, my favorite is art of any kind. I also did clay, which was really, really fun, especially if you like to get dirty. You use clay and you make a giant mess. Granted, you have to clean it up afterwards, which really stinks. But if you're not into art, sports is always a good choice. Go throw a ball and hit it really far.
I think our kids have used a lot of art. I think that we've used that creative mode to maybe make a difference. I just thought of something really important to our kids, and I'm going to share this story with everybody because I think it's important. We have a song. We have a camp song, and we sing all the time at camp, but what has really become our theme is Lean on Me. And so for our kids, they have story after story of being in time of struggle and the song Lean on Me coming on. When Garrett came down Mount Kilimanjaro, we were sitting in a bar restaurant in the outskirts of Mushi in Tanzania, Africa. There was about 15 of us. And we were all talking and laughing and talking about our trip. And on an African radio station in the middle of the bush, so to speak, Lean on Me came on. And that song has just, it's kind of given comfort even when someone wasn't around. When they heard that song, it's kind of been like God speaking to them or their inner self speaking to them saying, I'm not alone. There are people around me that love me, that care for me, and even in my hardest times, there's going to be somebody. And so Lean on Me has been really important to us. I think what Lean on Me has done for the Friends Together kids is given them that connection of no matter where they are. So I think that's the connection we look for folks who are facing difficult places in their life. Maybe it's some of these kids that have had these really horrible things happen this last year, had somebody to just lean on, had a network of friends that they could be honest with. And I think that's the most important thing. When we feel pain in our heart, is to have a place that we can share that with someone else. So what I encourage you as parents is try to have those conversations with your kids. A lot of times your kids aren't going to tell you what's going on at school. You have to pull it out of them. They're not going to tell you that someone's picking on them because maybe they're afraid that their dad's going to say man up or something else. But in today's time, with the technology that we have, text, Facebook, MySpace, bullying has taken on a whole nother realm. It has gone away of people being able to say things they would never, ever say to you if they were looking at you in the face. That's the same thing our kids face in school when people are saying things because they didn't know someone in that class had an autistic brother at home or was facing, you know, some major tragedy in their life, or their parent was maybe a prostitute, or their parent was maybe an IV drug user, and these very negative things happen. If people knew who they were in that class, probably they wouldn't say it out loud. Lindsay's among the scholarly types on campus, and I guess for lack of a better word, she would be called a geek in most circumstances and circles.
Nerd, actually.
A nerd. Well, maybe a nerd, actually.
I don't do technology but very well.
That's true. She's not a technology person, but she is a book person. But she's been empowered and self-empowered. So even though some folks may look at her as being that nerdy girl that knows all the right answers, it still can be hurtful when people lose it in class and say things that are not so great. So my encouragement to you is over the summer, the next couple of months, a lot of kids are going to be going to middle school for the first time. A lot of kids are going to be going to high school for the first time, and a whole lot of kids are heading off to college for the first time. And these are big milestones in their lives. And these are milestones that shape the rest of their destiny. And so if you have a child or a grandchild, or you love some child that's in this situation, really work on those skills. Have some conversations about how can we prevent these things before they ever happen. If you feel like your child is being bullied, or you feel like your child is being made fun of for some reason, maybe it's the color of their hair, the color of their skin, the way they speak. Some of us with our southern accents get made fun of a lot. Whatever it is, it may seem little to you, but it's really, really big to them. And so getting to the bottom of that is really important. So what I want to encourage you is have those talks, have those conversations. Send me your ideas. We want to share your ideas with other people, because everything doesn't work for everybody, but something will work for you. Until next week, make sure that you're the boss of your brain in making all these choices, and sometimes be the boss of your child's brain when they're making these choices. If you want to send me a response on Twitter, it's Straight Talk Pod. If you want to reach me by email, it's straighttalkwithkathy@gmail.com. And if you want to just send me any messages that you have, get those out to me. If you want to hear the back list of these podcasts, you can go to our website at straighttalkwithkathy.com or to the iTunes podcast area. Obviously, you know, if you're there, Straight Talk with Kathy. But all of the past episodes are banked there as well, so you can listen to them. So I hope everyone will have a good week, and I look forward to talking to you next week.